It's time for the We Got the Geek Survey.
All right, everybody, it's Jace Stu, and we have a treat for this week's Geek Survey. Joining us for the first time ever to do a Geek Survey together, we have Ryan and Hunter.
Hello. Hey.
And I know Ryan claims that we were all in the same room doing this years ago, but
I know we have.
Ryan claims a lot of things, like Trapped in Paradise is a movie worth watching.
Wow. Oh, you're never going to let that
go. Oh, I never gave it the John Carter test, did I? Better or worse than John Carter?
Worse than John Carter, because I would still watch John Carter.
A little bit better than Serenity, I guess.
Just throw that in there. Okay, you can do this survey somewhere else, sir.
I'm just kidding, sir.
So Jay and I will be back after the commercial break as we record this in the car on the way home.
I'm just teasing, guys. So since you guys last did a survey, I've come up with some questions I've asked other people and get your take on things. I have a few new ones as well. So let's start off with this one. I don't know if we ever... I think we covered this a long time ago, but let's get this out of the way again. If there was going to be a movie about the story of your life, who would play you in the movie? I remember you guys giving me an answer.
I've had the old answer of Robert Duncan McNeil from Star Trek Voyager. My wife thinks that we are, like, the same person. So, yeah, the guy who played Tom Paris.
Chris Farley was alive, I'd say him.
Yeah. Cool. There's a guy on Saturday Night Live that reminds me of Hunter.
Really?
Taron Killam. Funny guy. He's married to Robin Scherbatsky, actually.
Really? Good for him, then.
If you've seen any of the Star Wars trailer parodies from Saturday Night Live, he was the guy playing Senior Citizen Harrison Ford.
Okay, then. I will have to look for that again.
All right. Okay. Then who does the soundtrack to the movies of your lives?
There's only one person who does the soundtrack to the movie of my life, and that man is John Williams. As boring as my life is, that man will put a score behind it that will make it epic.
Trent Reznor.
All right. Cool. So if you could live the life of any Nick Cage role, who would you be? Tying into the whole Nick Cage movie review.
No, like his character in Sorcerer's Apprentice. Like, just the ones we have reviewed, or will
we? Of any movie.
I'd be his character, because he had, like, magic.
I'll go with Gone in 60 Seconds, Nick Cage. He got to drive fast cars, and also drive Angelina Jolie, so...
Wow. Good answer.
Both required stick shift.
Whoa. All right, if you guys could hop into a TARDIS or a DeLorean and travel through time, where would you go?
Oh, my God, that's a tie. I'd pass. I have no idea.
Future?
I don't know specifically how much. I would probably go further than my own lifespan. One, because I just don't want to see old me. Like, that's going to be depressing enough as it is. So, you go, like, let's go, like, 75 years in the... Let's go to, like, 2100. Just to see how all of this that's going on right now ends up. Like,
so then you can see, what, the 80th anniversary of Trapped in Paradise?
The statues of Dana Carvey. 106th
anniversary, but yeah, I mean, you get to see Star Wars Episode 23, Frozen 6.
Oh, good God.
But no, I would want to go to the future because I would like to see where things are headed. I don't think I have any desire to go into the past because I like indoor plumbing and electricity. I don't think I want to hang out with my mom when she was in high school. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, the common time travel tropes here. I don't want to go back to see the dinosaurs. That seems like it's just asking for trouble. Like, Marty McFly had a hard enough time with, like, puncturing the gas tank when he ended up in the 1800s. I don't want to end up anywhere where a train can't push me back.
Cool. If you guys were going to have three fictional guests over for dinner, who would you pick to join you for dinner? Could be from anything, comics, movies, TV.
Man.
Mal Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said, oh, yeah, a little too crazily.
What are we slipping into these drinks at this dinner here, right? I don't know. But,
you have, said three, right?
Have some roofie pie, Mal.
Roofie pie.
All right, so Firefly Guy.
Yeah.
Firefly Guy.
Two of the three. I don't know who the third is. At this point, I would want to see the Batman and the Doctor. Because I just want to see the two of them argue over the nature of humanity and, like...
That's a good one. Nice.
I just don't know who the third person... You know what? I'll go with it. Because of this time travel thing that we just talked about, I'm going to go with 70-year-old me. I want to have an argument with myself.
Nice.
While Batman and the Doctor are there.
That's hilarious.
Cool. Ryan, you got any more thoughts on that?
God, I'm just trying to think.
Just you and...
I'll just do Firefly Cast. So Wash. And Inara there.
Yeah, he's slipping a roofie to all of
Oh, Ryan.
I can't think of anything else.
He just gets to dinner. So, guys, I have this script I've been working on. It's totally the best Firefly fan fiction ever. I need you guys to read it.
Are you going to be like a misery lady and have them all tied up?
Oh, like break their legs.
Yeah, just like
you ain't going anywhere.
Joss Whedon would be another person I would like to see. Somebody that writes and, like, tells really good stories, it would be interesting to pick his brain.
Are you sad he's not coming back for Avengers 3?
No, I'm pretty good. Like, he's usually the kind of person that can leave his projects in the right hands.
Okay.
Because he's had his hand in so many things. Like, usually when he leaves something, it's because he's put the people in place that he trusts to carry it forward properly. Now, I say that given that it's probably not his call of who takes over for him, but I would hope that based on what he's done, considering that he's also been the person that's been, like, doing rewrites on every Marvel movie between, like, Avengers to Avengers 3, he's got to have a huge say in what goes on in the universe.
For sure. All right, now that we know you're bringing the cast of Firefly over for dinner, if you could be one celebrity for a day, who would you choose?
Wow.
So, fill in for Ryan Hunter?
No. So, celebrity.
Celebrity. If you could just take over a celebrity's life for one day, like a Freaky Friday type situation.
I'm trying to think of, like... I have two answers for two vastly different reasons. Like, one, Barack Obama, because I want to have access to all of the presidential secrets. I'd just be like, I want every presidential secret in a folder on my desk. I am going to be spending the next 24 hours reading them.
Nice.
And then the other one is, I'm trying to think of, like, the celebrity with, like, the best Rolodex of people I could call that are other celebrities and have sex with. So
Kanye West?
No. God, no. Kanye West doesn't even want to be Kanye West. No.
Clooney.
Clooney would be a good one. Clooney, you'd be able to call, like, anybody and go, like, okay, we're doing this today. It's the Clooney. Like, you say, like, hey, I want you to come over and have sex, and they're like, oh, yeah, the Clooney annual orgy. Like, okay, I'm in. And you're like, yes.
And then you could wear the Batman suit with the nipples.
There you go. That's a requirement.
Wow.
That was Barack Obama, too. I'd be like, bring me the Batman suit with the nipples while I read these secrets. Because of Barack Obama. Because
then I'll get in the media and be like, oh, Barack Obama's wearing a Batman suit with nipples. I have no idea. I never really thought about it much.
All right. Let's see. What's your least favorite movie series?
Dust Till Dawn.
Really?
The first one is about the
Okay.
I've never seen any of the others.
Second and third one.
Mind you, the TV show is pretty decent, but I don't know if you would include that in the movies.
My least favorite, like, movie series?
Yeah.
I would just go with Twilight, then. Yeah.
Cool. Cool. If you could pick two franchises that you'd like to see cross over and team up, because we just had the big Flash Arrow crossover a couple weeks ago. Yeah. What two franchises would you like to see team up?
If only because it would, like, bring it all into the Marvel, like, cinematic universe, let's bring Arrow and Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
All right.
Cool.
I can live with that.
Now, does it have to be comic-related, though?
No, it could be anything you want.
It would be cool seeing, like, Supernatural with Constantine. Like, just that aspect of the Hunters.
Mm. Are you still watching Constantine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave it up after the second episode. I couldn't like do it anymore.
Supernatural Buffy the Vampire Slayer would also be like a...
Oh, that would be pretty wicked. Well, you know that... still a little bit behind on Supernatural, just off topic. They're actually doing a spinoff.
Oh, yeah?
Based off, like, the vampires from
it. Really?
Yeah.
I could also see a Doctor Who Star Trek.
They kind of did a comic a couple years ago. They have comics on
that. It's funny they brought that up, though. I don't know. Could you really see something like that?
Well, because they're both very much about the optimistic view of the future. That's why I don't think, like, Star Trek and Star Wars don't mash up very well. Because one is just very much a fantasy story set in space that's a very medieval-style conflict. Whereas Star Trek is, we're building, it's the building blocks of the future and how we're coming together as a society and these civilizations. And Doctor Who is all about that. I would love to see in Star Trek some of the more original, off-the-wall alien species that Doctor Who's been able to incorporate. Like, Star Trek's very much humanoid shape and, like, humanoid-looking alien. They have very few aliens that aren't a person. And a lot of that is just because of makeup and actors. But I think to see Star Trek embrace those, like, more wide-scale, like, just more imaginative aliens, I think would be very interesting. And then you also see things like, it would be interesting to see how the Borg and the Daleks
crash into each other. That actually would be an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Because I think you could get a lot out of it.
Yeah. Makes me want to read the crossover comic, then, just to see.
I've read it came out in two different graphic novels. I read the first half of it, which is pretty decent. There's a great flashback where the Tom Baker Doctor meets the Kirk Enterprise crew.
Oh, God.
And the main story is the Next Generation cast with Matt Smith and Amy Pond.
Nice.
Cool.
Does Amy Pond get into one of those, like, Counselor Troy, like, jumpsuits?
No, I don't think they do
Scooping
that.
Neckline? Come on, Amy Pond and the scooping neckline? I could deal with that.
Dude, that's the only thing that got me through Selfie.
Her cleavage?
Yeah, it certainly wasn't her American accent.
Oh.
Okay. I kind of got Hunter's opinion on this on the way here. Thoughts on the Star Wars trailer that came out a couple of weeks ago?
I liked it. Seems like Star Wars-y, you know what I mean? Like, almost like they're going back to what Star Wars was known for.
I don't like that robot with the ball on it.
BB-4?
Yeah.
I don't.
J.J. Abrams put out, like, trading cards with, like, all the characters' names. So, yeah. I don't care. This is the problem is, they're trying too hard to be like, oh yeah, we're like 4, 5, and 6. They're trying too hard to be like that. Like, I will give 1, 2, and 3 the credit where they're like, we are definitely telling a story outside of that original trilogy. We're telling the story that came before that. We're telling our own story that ties into that as a larger narrative. And what I don't see yet is whatever this new trilogy is its own story. It just feels like, here's all the stuff that you wanted to see out of the prequels last time, because you just want to rehash of 4, 5, and 6, so we're going to jam that in here. I think the lightsaber looks stupid. I don't care. I don't, like, you've given me nothing to make me want this other than the fact that it's like, but it's Star Wars, and it's the Millennium Falcon flying through the sky with the theme. So...
Well, it's still a year away, and it's very much just a teaser. Like,
oh, I get that completely. Yeah. It's just one of those that the emotions that they're trying to elicit just seem more of like, oh, here's all the stuff from 4, 5, and 6, but, yeah. And, like, they're not... It doesn't look like it's anything of its own. Whereas at least with Star Trek, when he tried to redo Star Trek, it was very much a... Yeah, we're going to play off your nostalgia, but it's going to be our own. We're going to take ownership of it.
Well, you got to figure, it still would have to be the same. Like, I mean, my big problem with the first three, like the 1, 2, and 3, was just they used too much CGI. Like, it was too... I think they relied too heavily on that. Now, obviously, 4, 5, and 6 was done at a different time where
we didn't
have access to that. But the thing is, though... I like that old school feel where you have the animatronics that they said they've gone back to.
Well, I mean, there's a great quote from George Lucas from when he was like filming the first three. And he was very much like hands on, up and running around director. And it was some quote of him saying, like, movies where the director is just sitting in a chair and shouting action and then cut on like a set piece are not the way the movie should have been made. And then you cut to him making the first 1, 2, and 3, and it's a shot of him in a chair, just looking at a monitor with a giant green screen backdrop. And I'm like, you became what you said, like, you didn't direct this. You just basically went, I want... Part of it was, is George Lucas got really pissy that people are like, Darth Vader's the best villain of all time. He's like, no, Darth Vader's a tragic hero.
Really?
He's mad at people for liking Darth Vader as a villain. He wanted people to see Darth Vader as a tragic hero.
Yeah.
And that was more of his impetus for doing 1, 2, and 3, finally. It was because he was pissed off at people for liking Vader as a villain. He's like, no, I have to show... The Vader's the good guy.
I did not know that.
But
kind of a shitty attitude when you look at it, though. I mean,
just... he's gotten super possessive of all of his stuff, and yeah. I mean that's why he did like at the end of Return of the Jedi, he replaced Sebastian Shaw with Hayden Christensen.
That's my least favorite change.
That's the thing. He's trying to be like, no, this is the hero. Like, this is you, like, trying to tie it back to him as a hero. And you can't. It's, you're telling the story of somebody's fall to darkness and his rise out of it, but that's fine. There's still, like, 3 movies in there of him being in darkness and trying to get his way out. Like, you have to at least acknowledge that. Which I don't feel like he was doing enough of.
True.
I think the perspective in the first 3 movies should have been sort of shifted.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I've said about, I've read about the writing in there is that if 4, 5, and 6 is Luke's story, and 1 through 6 is Vader's story, what really should have happened is 1, 2, and 3 should have been Obi-Wan's story. And Obi-Wan wasn't in 1 enough to really...
be about him.
But if you had taken, say, the first 3 movies and done Obi-Wan's perspective with Anakin as sort of like the secondary character and showed that relationship going to the dark side and then let him hand the reins off to Luke in 4, 5, and 6 and have it be, here's Obi-Wan's story as he sees Vader fall and fail. Here's Luke's story of redeeming Vader, and then the whole thing is Vader's story of his fall and his rise.
Well, I guess with the trailer, I mean, you gotta figure then, we don't really see a lot, so they could be including, because it's like the way you said it, like, 4, 5, and 6 is Luke's story.
Oh yeah, Vader's it's story, definitely so. Gonna be, like, Finn, the stormtrooper, whatever his name is.
Yeah, which I think people also made too much of a hassle saying, oh, you can't have a black stormtrooper. Like, I think...
I don't mind. I have no problem with it. And that's part of the problem with the culture, too, is that half of the culture feels like you need some kind of ethnic diversity, and the other half of the culture going, well, you can't have ethnic diversity because we didn't have it before.
I don't know. I just think they made too much out of it. Like,
yeah.
But
I can't wait for what I hope is a time where that's not
an issue.
Something that's talked about at all. But
that's still going to be off, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, that's why I want to go to 2100.
All right, how about we take a break and then we get the speed round?
Okay.
All right.
Kristen Hunter, also known as Kiki, is a Canadian artist specializing in polymer clay creations. Being a geek at heart, most of her work is nerd-themed. Kristen has several lines of geeky creations, including steampunk, comic, and video game-inspired work, as well as sushi-themed jewelry. Kristen is always excited to create the perfect custom piece for any theme or occasion. Please check out her website at kikiscustomcreations.com.
All right, welcome back to the Geek Survey with Ryan and Hunter, and it's speed round time.
Fastest reviewer alive.
So, basically, you know the drill. I give you two choices, is one or the other, and if it's a funny answer, we might stop. All right, TARDIS or DeLorean?
DeLorean.
TARDIS. There's more freedom in what a TARDIS can do and where it can go and come back from than a DeLorean.
Yeah, true. But I still say DeLorean.
DeLorean looks cooler, yeah. But from a practical time travel perspective, I gotta go with TARDIS.
All right. The Millennium Falcon or the Serenity?
Serenity.
Millennium Falcon.
Ernie Hudson or Ron Glass?
Ernie Hudson?
Ron Glass.
Go figure.
Cybermen or Stormtroopers?
Stormtroopers.
Stormtroopers. It's scarier to think of them as actual people you know, as opposed to, like, just bodies in a metal suit.
True. Han Solo or Mal from Firefly?
Why did you answer... Why are you asking questions you already know one of our answers to?
Obviously, Mal Reynolds.
I thought it'd be funny.
I am actually gonna go with Mal Reynolds on this one more than Han Solo.
All right. Han Solo or Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Solo.
Indiana Solo.
No, I like Han Solo better.
Flash or Quicksilver?
Flash.
Flash.
Because I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about Quicksilver.
Nobody does.
There's not a lot to tell.
Michael Fassbender or Ian McKellen?
Ian McKellen.
Yeah, just because I like the roles he's been in. Not to say that Michael Fassbender hasn't been in any good roles, just... Not to mention, Ian McKellen's actually quite funny.
Yes.
All right. Deep Impact or Armageddon?
Deep Impact. No question.
I don't remember Deep Impact.
Deep Impact was the other asteroid movie that year.
That had, Tia Leone
and...
Is it the one where they...
Morgan Freeman as the president.
With that Sobieski.
Lily Sobieski and Elijah Wood.
You know what?
It had... Robert Duvall, because Robert Duvall is apparently the name that I cannot get off the tip of my tongue this week.
And I'll go with Deep Impact because I didn't really like the.
I don't like Michael
McKinnon.
Right. McDonald's or Burger King?
Ugh. Neither.
I was gonna say I'll go with Burger King because they do the mozza sticks.
If I have to pick one of the two, I'll go with McDonald's because I like their fries better.
Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
Tauntauns or Banthas?
Banthas are the...
The big elephant.
Elephant ones?
Yeah.
Tauntauns.
I guess it would be easier to take care of a Tauntaun. I have to think of the practical implications of this, okay?
Amy Pond or Clara?
Amy Pond.
Oh, Amy
Pond. You don't even have to finish that question.
I mean, Clara is nice, but just Amy Pond, especially something about her accent.
And the little police uniform.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
What's Clara got going for her? The souffle girl outfit was probably the closest one she had going for her, but yeah, I know.
Yeah. Once Upon a Time or Grimm?
Once Upon a Time.
Like, I like Once Upon a Time. I like what they're doing, storyline, characters, but I love Grimm.
I'm a big Disney fan, so all the Disney tie-in stuff for me is a big, like, warm spot in my heart.
Yeah.
Okay, Deadpool or Deathstroke?
Deadpool. Come on, Jay.
Deathstroke. I take him more seriously as a character in his universe.
Okay, you can get out of my house.
Cool. Just...
Oh, yeah, you don't have any Deathstroke statues.
No, I don't.
I like Deadpool. I just feel like...
He's more of a comedic...
He is more of, like, a commentary slash parody of his own universe. He's done some, like, hilarious stuff. I just feel like Deathstroke is a part of the DC universe.
Yeah.
Whereas Deadpool is, like, this side character that never really participates in anything. He's just there.
Yeah. Well, obviously, that's his version of, like, that's their version of Deathstroke, right?
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Deathstroke's been out a lot longer.
Yeah, well, Deadpool was modeled off of...
Yeah.
Off of Deathstrike.
I just like Deadpool. Like, I mean, again, I don't know enough about Deathstrike. I just know based off, like, Arrow and then stuff that Jay has talked about. But I just like Deadpool, number one, like, just the humor.
Like, oh, yeah, I definitely...
In his stuff. But I can honestly see, like, why you would take Deathstroke more serious versus...
I also feel like Deadpool, especially over the last few years, has been overdone.
Like, too exhausted, like, too
much. Yeah, he's been used too much. But, I mean, like, the little, like, Ryan Reynolds Deadpool short... I really enjoyed that. It was definitely the movie version of that character. And I thought it was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
But, and would work standalone. But in terms of, like, seeing a larger scale.
Yeah.
Deathstroke is much better.
Okay. Ben Affleck or Matt Damon?
Matt Damon.
Oh, jeez.
I think I'd like more stuff Matt Damon has done.
Yeah, like Bourne Identity.
Ocean series.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the Ocean
Beggar series. Vance.
I haven't seen that one.
I've never seen it. But Hunter brought it up earlier.
I did. He's a golfer assisted by a magical Will Smith.
It's your shot, sir. Angelina Jolie or Jennifer Aniston?
Jennifer Aniston, though, for her age right now, she's looking incredibly...
I wrote Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston, I have to say.
She did a good job in Horrible Bosses. Like, I liked her in Horrible Bosses, because that's probably the most recent thing I've seen her do.
Yeah.
But I don't like Angelina Jolie. There's a couple movies that I find her okay in, like Gone in 60 Seconds and Hackers. But
that's a classic.
But for the most part, I don't like things that she's in. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I didn't mind it, but it didn't really get me in there. Yeah. I hate Maleficent with a fiery passion.
Yeah, I didn't like that one as much.
Quantum Leap or Sliders?
Sliders.
Oh, Sliders. I'm sorry. Like, Quantum Leap was good, but Sliders was just neat. Like,
well,
the different worlds they've been
Quantum Leap. Whole series. Sliders, season first 1 and 2.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
If Sliders was season 1 and 2 only, Quantum Leap would never beat it. But as an overarching show, I feel like Quantum Leap told better stories. I just wish we had seen more of the evil Leaper.
Downhill after season 3, then? Or season 2?
When you lost John Rhys Davies... It was hard for the show to keep up the momentum. Like, there was a very good cast dynamic in the four people they had. They had your young scientist who, like, had the fresh new ideas, who also just wanted to get out there and help people. You had the older scientist who was practical, knew everything, and knew when you should be staying the hell out of the way. You had the everyman singer who gave you the perfect exposition dump of, like, well, what the heck's going on in this world? Oh, well, let me tell you. But he also gave you the perspective of all these what-if stories of, well, this is what the every person would have perspect. And then you also had, like, sort of the moral center in Wade, where she was very much a, okay, you guys can argue about what is good, or, like, what you should do and what you can't do in this situation, but this is the right thing that we should be doing. And they lost John Rhys Davies like three quarters of the way through season 2 and replaced him with Carrie Wooer.
Oh, okay.
It was just like a military person, which for a little while was okay. And then they started bringing in, like, Jerry O'Connell's brother as an Amish guy. And, yeah. Yep.
And then they got to the point they brought in the other guy, which was a mishmash of Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah, because Jerry O'Connell left the series and they needed to recast him. And...
yeah. So first two seasons, yes.
But both series ended on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Oh, how did the Sliders cliff end? What was that?
It was basically the Everyman that I was talking about had, like, a cure to a major disease for their home Earth. And, well, disease slash alien invasion. And he slides back to what he thinks is going to be home with that cure slash solution. And you never find out if he succeeded or not. Everybody else was dead.
And then you find out that technically the Jerry O'Connell's character, that wasn't their home Earth to begin with. That, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that was, I mean, that was... like, established in season 3, but...
I thought it was in 4.
No, because that's why he goes looking for his brother. They're like, yeah, you guys aren't from that Earth. We sent you to this one and your brother to this one.
Oh, that's been too while since I've seen that.
But in terms of... I'm a sucker for alternate universe stories more than just time travel, because I like the what if more than the when if. So, yeah. I mean, there are really good episodes of Quantum Leap. I love it as an overarching show. It felt a lot more like there wasn't one big story. Like, Quantum Leap is just very much a this week's episode. We might tie back into something every so often, but it's a lot of one-shots. There's not a big story that we're telling. It was hard to see his progress. Like, the entire premise of that show is... him hoping his next leap will be the leap home, but there's no progress. We can't see how close he's getting most of the time. Like, there's really good episodes, like the one where he leaped into his own body as a kid, trying to prevent his dad from going off and dying. There was the one where you got to see...
well, no, it was the reverse ones, where it was then Sam and Al... character reverse.
So. Yeah, because Al got to go back in time to the Vietnam War, and you got to see him in the POW camp for the long, like for the long haul. Like that was cool. I like seeing the evil counterparts too. So when you saw like the evil Leaper trying to set wrong what once went right, I thought that was really cool. But
well, now I have to ask you guys this. As a follow-up question, what was the worst series finale that you guys think? Of any show.
Seinfeld.
Yeah?
I did not like how they just ended them in jail.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad series finale. Like, I think there's so many series that I've watched where, like, it just ended on a cliffhanger. And I'm like, screw you. I hate you so much. Like, Las Vegas... it was just a fun series that I enjoyed that ended with the guy everybody was having a funeral for, Tom Selleck, bursting into the funeral and going, hey, this is a nice event you guys are having. And then one of the pregnant characters, like, with her hand covered in blood. And that was the last episode. And you're like, no, no, you're not allowed to end that series there. Because the funny thing was, they're... the guy who produced that went on to do the Knight Rider remake. And he's like, for all the people that really wanted to know what happened in Las Vegas, he really wanted to have the two main characters from Las Vegas do like a one-shot cameo in the background of Knight Rider with their healthy baby, just to give people that closure.
You just reminded me that Tom Selleck was on the last season of that show.
He was really good on the last season of that. Like, James Caan was... that was, he was a really good actor on that show. And when they took... like, when James Caan left, you're like, that's going to be hard to follow up in terms of the presence of... and Tom Selleck did a really good job on that. Yeah. The series finale of Enterprise...
I've never seen it, but that's the one that they kind of sort of try to tie it's in the next generation
episode. Well, they said it was the holodeck, so...
yeah.
Like for Riker.
Yeah. Yeah, the entire entire episode takes place where the entire cast are all just holographic recreations, while Riker plays around in the scenario on the holodeck.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, no, that was a disappointing series finale.
Cool. And that's how you do the geek survey. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
Maybe we'll have you together in a room again someday.
One day.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.